In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Reverend fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst.
He is and always shall be.
Well, today we celebrate all the saints. All the saints. Every single one of them. And, you know, you can look around and see this great cloud of witnesses that Paul just spoke of by seeing the icons that are around us. And we know that those icons represent the fact that the saints are among us. The veil between this life and the next is so very, very, very thin. Being a part of the kingdom means that we are a part of that next life. The kingdom of God doesn't start when our body dies. The kingdom of God starts for us when we go under the water and when we're chrismated. And then it's up to us whether we enter deeper and further into the kingdom of God or whether we continue to seek our own way and to allow that disease of sin to make us pull away from that kingdom, to make us seek our own kingdom, the kingdom of Nathan, or the kingdom of whoever. So anyway, today we celebrate All Saints, and that includes these saints, and that includes the whole list of saints that we have, and that includes people that we do not know. There are so many saints that we do not know. And it's interesting because when you read the word saints in the scripture, it refers to all of us. It refers to each and every single one of us. Each and every single one of us is called to be a saint. It's really funny. One of my favorite professors at seminary, Dr. Christopher Vinyamin, a wonderful, wonderful, godly, pious, very intelligent man, the one time when he would get mad at you in his class is when you made the comment, well, that's not for me. I'm never going to be a saint. And the reason why is because, in a sense, you're saying that God doesn't have the ability to make you a saint. It's probably out of humility, and it's probably out of the fact that you know your own sin, and as much as God has allowed you to know your own sin, and thus you think there's no way that this is going to happen. But that doesn't mean that that's not what we strive for. When you ask a child, what do you want to be when they grow up? I imagine you haven't heard a lot of them say a saint. But that's the correct answer. When you ask me what I want to be when I grow up, God willing, I will say a saint. And I know my own sin, and I know my own self-will, and I know that that needs to be broken in order for that to happen. In order for any of us to be united to Christ, we must give up our own will. We must be willing to do those things that allow Him to actually be the Lord in our life. And it sounds like this is a huge task. It sounds like this is something that's difficult. And don't get me wrong, it is difficult. Anything worth anything in life is difficult. Is that not true? But also, we have been given the gifts, we've been given the grace to handle this, to partake in this, to grow in our union with Christ. This is from St. Nikolai of Zicha. He writes, "Does a householder send his servant out to keep the sheep without food? Does a father send his son to the fields without plow and oxen? Does a commander send a god into battle without weapons? They do not. And God does not send his servants, his sons, and his soldiers into this world without food, supplies, and weapons. Men are not wiser or more merciful than God, far from it. So when men give their followers the supplies they need, so much the more does God supply his followers with their needs." God gives us the grace, and he gives us the tools. In the same way that if you go into battle empty-handed, you're not going to survive. Or if you go out to plow a field with your bare hands, you might get it done, but it certainly is not going to be efficient. God gives us the tools. If we seek to be joyful, if we seek to have peace in our lives, if we seek to live in harmony with one another, God gives us the tools. And I'm a broken record. The tools are prayer and fasting and giving alms and repentance. And what I want to focus on today is that repentance. Because all of these saints are saints because they repented. That is the one tool that we absolutely cannot ignore. The thief on the cross did not live a life of prayer. He did not give alms. He did not fast. He didn't do any of those things. All he did is recognize his sin and turned to Christ and say, "Remember me today when you enter into your kingdom." And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do those other things. I'm saying that repentance is first and foremost, and the rest of those things grow off of that. Well, how do we repent? We repent by, first of all, repenting each evening before we go to bed. In your evening prayer rule, spend a little time saying, "Lord, how did I miss the mark today? How did I not live that life that you want me to live as your gift to me so that I can live in peace and joy?" And secondly, come to confession. Come to confession. Come to confession. If you have cancer, you don't get out a knife and take the tumor out yourself, do you? If your car breaks down, you don't fix it yourself unless you have the mechanical skills to fix it. If you have an essay due on nuclear physics, you don't sit around going, "Okay, nuclear physics, how does that work?" and then just figure it out in your head. Or if you do, you're a genius, you know. Obviously, there are people that do all of these things, minus the surgery on themselves. But that's what those of us who have been given the blessing to be priests are, is we're doctors, we're physicians. If I just listen to the sound of my own voice, I get nowhere. The other thing that these saints have in common is that they allowed themselves to be guided by those who are following Christ. As I've said many, many times, St. Paul tells us, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And so I follow my bishop as he follows Christ. I follow my father confessor as he follows Christ. And I'll tell you, when you don't have a father confessor, when you don't have someone to go to, it's a lot more difficult. It's a lot more easy in life to say, "Oh, you're an expert at this. Can you tell me how to do this better?" And I'm not saying that your father can. I'm not saying that I myself, at least, if you choose me as your father confessor, is more holy than you are. So I, we're both on the path towards holiness. The difference is I've been given the grace of the priesthood in order to be a father confessor, and the blessing to be a father confessor by my bishop. But do know that those of us who are father confessors spend our time praying for you, that we keep you in our prayers, that we lay awake at night worried about you, as you parents have probably laid awake at night worrying about your children, because we love you. And likewise, because we love God, we listen to our bishop and we listen to our father confessors, and they help us in getting out those hooks of sin, because that's what they are. They're hooks of sin that get into us and that keep us from drawing deeper into the kingdom of heaven. So anyway, we look around at the saints, we ask the saints for their intercession, and we emulate the saints in their obedience. Their obedience first and foremost to Christ. Our obedience is always to Christ. And like I said, follow me as I follow Christ. If I'm not following Christ, please, please, please come and say something to me. Honestly, come into my office or call me on the phone and say, "Father, I think that this wasn't correct." I will not say, blah, blah, blah. I might be defensive for a second, but ultimately I'll go, "You know what? You're absolutely right, and I need to realign and follow Christ." So seek out a father confessor if you don't have one. Develop a relationship with them. And have just one. If you have two that you go to, the problem is then you can go, "Well, I think he might say this, and he might say this, so I'm going to go to him." So that's why we have a father confessor. And that's not to say that we don't have many, many spiritual fathers and brothers and sisters and mothers, because we do. We all learn from one another. But we should all have one father confessor to which we go so that we can go deeper into the kingdom of heaven. To the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.